We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Action Vision Coaching with Richard today. And if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Let's dive in. Richard, what would you like to accomplish today? Richard, are you there?
I am here. I was on mute, so it was a little bit difficult to hear me. Well, what I'm starting to say is, since our last conversation on Monday, the thing that has been on my mind has been, how do I cultivate, or can I increase the fire in my belly, as it was referred to in our previous call? Is that something that you can learn? Is that something that you can grow?
Yeah, that is an awesome, that is an inspirational question. That is that explains why I was thinking what I was thinking in prep for this, you know, one-on-one Action Vision Coaching session. Would you, you know, jump out of a second or third story window of a building?
With motivation, absolutely.
And what would be the motivation to jump out of a second or third story window?
At this age, somebody else in danger or myself in danger.
Okay, and in danger by what?
Let's say there's a fire in the building.
So, see, you're an outlier in how you think. Most people will say, well, no. 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 Well, no, actually you would. I mean, you know, brings back just horrifying memories of the Trade Center and people jumping out of, I don't know, 50, whatever, 80 stories. And it's like, are you kidding? I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine of that. Imagine that. And so fire in the belly, you know, fire in the belly it often amounts to pressure. And so most of us don't want to put ourselves under a lot of pressure. So what we do is we take the easy route out, the easy road. So, you know, what was it? Almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago, whatever, you know, I graduated from college. My wife and I were married when we were sophomores in college. We graduated together. We decided to start a family. She was actually, she actually was 3 months pregnant when we both graduated. Let's see, we knew she wasn't going to be working outside the house, the home, because that was important to us at that time, and actually the whole time, and all seven of the kids. And then we bought a house at the same time, and I had 6 job offers, and the only job I knew I didn't want to do was sales, because I hated, you know, I didn't like salespeople, and I never wanted to become one. And so I ended up taking, you know, with 6 job offers, you know, some really, really good ones, good companies, secure income, you know, benefits, everything. I ended up taking a position in 100% straight commission position with a company that had only been in business for a year and only had 2 days of training in a position I didn't like. What would possess somebody to do something like that, Richard?
Concern for kids, spouse.
Well, but I'm 100% straight commission. That seems kind of insane.
I, I think that insanity can be relative to situation and current life experience.
Well, I would have been 23 at the time.
I would say that I would often argue that the brain in the male of the species doesn't develop until at least our 30s or 40s, but yes.
Yeah, I would think, you know. And so my in-laws were not real excited about that decision that I made, honestly. You know, their daughter's 3 months pregnant. You know, buying a house, 100% straight commission. Excuse me, Mark? And you're giving up really good jobs, secure jobs, safe jobs. Why would you do that?
I'm guessing you had a vision towards that end, though.
Well, see, I think, yeah. I mean, you know, a life vision. I had a clear life vision. And then I knew, I felt to hit that life vision, I needed to be in six-figure income in 7 years. And I knew I couldn't do it with my finance management or marketing, so I'd have to go into sales, something I didn't like doing, didn't want to do, and wasn't good at. The first 3 months, I made $1 an hour. And I had three of the job offers that said, Mark, if it's not working out, if it doesn't work out, you are so perfect for what we're looking for. I mean, you have a job with us anytime. Why is that not so good, to have three job offers?
Well, it doesn't focus you necessarily on the present one at hand.
Right. I mean, it's, you have an out. It's the burning of the ship's principle. And so a couple of the military generals brought their armies over, and then they burned the ships. One, I heard a story that they you know, got rid of all the pans too to eat. And so it's like when you burn the ships, you know, you have no other options. I had other options, and that was very, very dangerous. After 3 months, you know, we bought a house, but we couldn't even afford to put drapes up. You know, we had, you know, sheets that they're there, and I'm making $1 an hour. Now my wife's 6 months pregnant. I'm making $1 an hour. It's not looking pretty. And I'm like, okay, you better start thinking about something else. And I said to myself a couple things. One is I had never intended to go ahead and share this. Wow, that's really strange. That's really cool. One is I said, Mark, you've never failed at anything you've ever done before. You're not going to start now. You're going to figure this thing out, buddy. And I've always been slow at things. I mean, slow at school. So, I mean, I think I have an advantage over other people. I just don't expect success to come overnight. So it's like, yeah, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be long, and you just got to keep going. And so the other thing that I hadn't, you know, even anticipated in sharing was a spiritual and a moral lesson. And that is, and I know, Richard, and this is your Action Vision Coaching. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, this is a gift from Richard to you. It's pretty powerful, actually. Probably every high school, every junior high school, college student should listen to this lesson, because it teaches things that you will never, ever learn in school, ever. You won't learn this in school. And so when I felt like quitting and I'm discouraged and I'm working tons of hours and I'm not making money and it's not working out, and the company, you know, they had the training and the things that they said were going to work weren't working for me. I mean, it was a disaster, and I'm really discouraged, and I felt like giving up. And I remember very distinctly saying, Mark, you maintained purity when you were dating and engaged with your wife. And if you can do that, you can do anything on the planet. So Dr. James Dobson, with his co-host, a number of years ago, they were talking, and it's right after one of his co-hosts you know, had an affair with a young lady. And Dr. Dobson, you know, he's a medical doctor, I believe, and he goes ahead and says, or maybe he's a doctor, I don't know, he's got some doctorate, he's a smart guy, you know, and he said, I don't understand why God, I don't understand why God peaks males' sexual drive, you know, at 18, early 20s, and women not until 30s. And I remember hearing that, and I'm like, oh, I understand why. I get it. I mean, I understand. And it's what's called the cocoon principle. And so, Richard, if you and I are going, you know, in a nature walk and we see a caterpillar breaking free of a cocoon, and we see the struggle and the pain that they're going through, and we generously, you know, have a heart of compassion, great intentionality, and we go ahead and very carefully cut open that cocoon to free the butterfly, so the butterfly saves the butterfly from, you know, going through all the pain of breaking free. What happens to that butterfly, Richard?
It's ruined, basically. It cannot fly after that.
It can't fly because the membranes in the wings won't get filled, my understanding is, without the struggle. And so it can't fly, so it's either going to starve to death or it's going to get eaten, one or the other. And I believe the same thing is true in the morality for young men. And I want to write a white paper on this, actually, for my 13- and 16-year-old son. They've heard this, but I need to get a white paper out there for them. And so, you know, I believe that, you know, I believe if, you know, if a large amount of the responsibility in a relationship is God-given to the male, if the male fails morally, makes poor choices, then it would seem to me that the male is going to go ahead and be punished greater than the female if they have a higher degree of responsibility. I mean, it's just the natural law. It's the DNA of life. It just how it's designed. And so that's my theory. You don't hear that from very many, especially with seven kids and four daughters, but, you know, almost every guy that's dated my daughter, I've explained this concept to him. Said, hey, this is my belief that the guy will get hurt more than the girl because I believe there's almost an emasculation of the male where he loses something of the fire in the belly. He loses something of a drive, of the ability to take risks, the ability to say, you know what, I can do anything. And there are so many times in the 24 years I've owned my own company and 4 years before that in straight commission sales that I felt like giving up. But the confidence, because I remember even 30 years later how hard it was to remain pure in dating. And then once it hit engagement, it's like, you got to be joking. This is insane how hard it is. And so, you know, that's one thing. I think it's like we don't put ourselves at risk. We don't go ahead and push ourselves. We don't put ourselves in risky situations. You know, at 3 months, went in and talked to the president of the company, said, hey, Tony, doing everything you guys are telling me to do, and none of it's working. He says, well, Mark, you know, it takes 12 to 18 months. They didn't tell me that on the upfront, which is why I'm so passionate about being honest with people in recruiting. And so you're going through a recruiting course with me, and so there's so much behind underneath that engine as to why I do what I do and the belief system that I have, but it is, you know, it is what it is. Young people, it's like I didn't blame the company. They told me things that weren't true. They said they had things that they didn't have. They said they had things that didn't work. I just had the attitude, oh, what a great opportunity for me. I'm going to take the VP of sales position. I'm going to take the VP of marketing's position. I'm going to do that. And so I did that. I accomplished after 4 months. The president, he said, you know, well, it takes 12 to 18 months. I said, I don't have 12 to 18 months, Tony. I've got a wife who's now 6 months pregnant. I've got a house. I'm dying here. He said, well, what do you think you ought to do? I said, you know, I listed three things. He said, go do them. And so I did them. I went out and did them. Fortunately for me, I'd started a number of my own companies while I was in college, and one of those was a computer company, so I had more computing power at home than the whole company had. And so I went ahead and developed some tools, some systems that would differentiate me from my competition. Went out there, accomplished more, and it took me a month to come up with the first tool, the first system. I went out there after 4 months and accomplished more in a week than I had in the first 4 months. And that's when I learned the power of systems. And so I've been a believer ever since. I was able to accomplish my 7-year goal in a year and a half. I was 27, 28, left that company to start Synergy Solutions. I was on track to make $460,000 a year as a 27, 28-year-old. And I had $1 million in equity. And I left all of that to start a company that we didn't even have a product. And so people in straight commission think that that's tough. That's nothing, I'm here to tell you, compared to starting your own company and having a lot of money flowing out every month and nothing coming in and you don't even have a product to sell. And so I think, Richard, in answer to your question, it's like you've got to put yourself out there more. You've got to take more risk. When you take more risk, you know, you live or you die. I mean, it's always humorous to me. You hear about all the stories of people succeeding and say, wow, they're so brave. What if I wouldn't have succeeded? What if you call me brave or stupid? I mean, you know, I don't know. And so I remember years ago, there was some magazine that did research on people, men, I think it was, in their 60s. And they said, what's your biggest regret in life? And the number one thing that came back is I didn't take enough risk. I'm pretty sure that my wife and I are not going to, I'm pretty sure I am not going to go ahead and have that. And when I'm over 60 saying, I mean, I have taken so many risks, it's unbelievable. And so I think it's putting yourself out there and having more risk. I think it's having a greater sense of who you are, whose you are, and your life vision, and getting about that and saying, hey, you know, I mean, I have a 24-year-old son that, you know, I mean, and he's living on his own. He's been living on his own since he was 17 and a half. He's got his own company. You know, he lived a year in Utah. Now he's living in Nashville. And I sometimes am concerned about him that he's running out of runway. And most, you know, dads would say, wow, that's amazing. You know, and so 5 of my 7 kids are independent, living on their own. And so it's interesting at the Coffee Connection this last Tuesday, there's a guy I would imagine in his 40s, I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm guessing. And it's like, you know, Kevin King was there, and Kevin's like, you know, Kevin, and Kevin's nice guy, outgoing guy, very expressive, and Kevin's like, oh, I see how, you know, Joe is, you know, I see how Joe is growing. I'm like, really? And Joe's right there, and I'm like, I don't see it. He says, you don't see any growth? I say, well, there's a little bit of growth, but I don't see very much, and I think Joe's running out of runway. And Kevin's like, I don't think he's running out of runway at all. I'm like, I'm stunned. So I think like you have a finite amount of time on this planet. And so I would think that if you have a sense, if you have a sense of why God's put you on this planet, and the amazing things that you can do, you're able to do, and how far off you are from that mark, I would think that that would give you a high sense of urgency, that you would take risks that you normally wouldn't take, that you would do things that you normally wouldn't do, that you will grow and you will try new things that you would not try. You will change when you don't have to change. You will grow when you don't have to grow. Any of that resonate? Any of that make sense?
A lot of it does, yes. I don't... Maybe I don't have a great enough sense of just why God has put me on this planet. I think that's probably part of the core of it.
I think you're right. What's intriguing, you know, I mean, I've been blessed where I've known since I was 8, but I'm really wondering if I really know. I'm like, I don't know if I really know. I don't know if I really have a strong enough sense of urgency. And most would be like, really, Mark? Like, yeah. Yeah, I think I need to take it up a notch. Or two, or three. Questions, thoughts?
Okay. The question is still there. The thoughts.
Well, come up with something, you know, you or I come up with something that you might feel uncomfortable with. And then you just say yes. So are you trusting, if you just say yes, are you trusting in yourself? I don't know. I mean, if I come up with something, do you think I've already come up with something?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, before you said what you said, before you said what you said coming into this, I'm like, I'm ready. I mean, we greeted each other. How are you doing? Good. I said, you said, how are you doing, Mark? I said, I'm doing awesome. He said, well, I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. I said, you get up at 2:30 in the morning, you get some momentum. I mean, so I got some momentum now. I mean, I've already got, you know, my devotions done, my prayer done. I've already got, what, 4 hours? Almost 4.5 hours of work done today. I mean, I am just hitting my stride. So if you just say yes to me, are you trusting yourself? Are you trusting me? Are you trusting God? I do not know the answer to that. But you've said in the past you've had a hard time trusting, right?
True.
So would you like to learn to trust more?
Yes.
Cool. Would you like to learn to do that now?
Let's do it.
All right. Cool. So, are you in?
Yes.
But you don't know what I'm going to say.
Correct.
And you're still in?
Yes.
Is that strange or what?
Yes.
I think so. I mean, you don't even know. You are advancing at such a fast rate. You're like, people who don't know you don't know how much you're growing. They don't know that 3 months ago, I'm pretty sure that would have never happened, what just happened.
Correct.
And so what I think you ought to consider doing is the last 2 weeks we've recorded the session. Well, if we're going to record the session and make it available to the whole world, why don't we invite people to come here with you?
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, I would think so. So I would think we invite other people to come, and we develop a mastermind. We develop a mastermind group, and we invite other people to attend that group with you and I. So what you're doing is you're turning your coaching session into, rather than you learning, you're doing, and by doing, you're learning. And so when I put myself out in front of people, that puts pressure on me. I mean, most people are not going to tell their clients to publicly shame them. Yeah, go ahead, shame me in front of everybody. If I don't do what I say I'm going to do, I mean, yeah, go ahead and say, hey, how are you coming on that white paper? Do it in front of everybody. Put the pressure on me like crazy, because I know that I perform really good under pressure. And there, people are like, Mark, you seem to put more pressure on you than anyone I've ever seen in my life. Okay, maybe that's true, I guess, if you say it's true. Personally, I don't think I'm performing anything close to what I could. I think I can handle more pressure. I think I need more pressure. I mean, I'm 51 years old. I mean, I got 5 decades of momentum. And so I understand how to handle pressure now. I understand how to leverage it. I understand how to, handle it and go through it, navigate through it. I mean, I think it's awesome. What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out the benefit, but I'm flowing with it. I'm going to try, pursuing a path.
Cool. So the topic, what do you think the topic would be?
We're doing a mastermind group?
Yeah, mastermind group. What would be our topic?
I still like the idea of the DNA of people and, a white paper around that and developing that area. I think that's kind of core, and it has application in business and personal across the board.
Yeah, I agree. DNA of people. There it is. There it is. So, I mean, last 2 weeks is so close, to writing that paper, that white paper. I mean, it's just been right there. And it's like, I don't know why. I mean, there's something missing. It's like missing a tipping point moment. It needs just a little bit more pressure. It needs a little bit more something. And in the past, that would bother me. Now I'm just like, okay, I guess it needs a little more. And so my guess is this is what creates the tipping point moment. Because now it's like, oh, there's a group together. Okay, there's going to be people that are going to start to congregate, because that's a very popular topic. And so that is going to be most intriguing. That is going to be, wow. Okay. And so what you'll learn is you'll learn how to take things and do things faster. And you will actually motivate and inspire people more than I will, because you're closer to many people's dimension and way of thinking. And so we'll go ahead and do I'll wrap this session up, and then we'll do a little debrief afterwards. But if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, pretty interesting, pretty amazing. Pay it forward, pass this along to other people. Especially young men, young women. That first part, I mean, taking risk, understanding risk, not foolish risk, but measured risk. Understanding that God's laws are there for a reason. They're not to hold us back. They're to empower us. They're to give us freedom, you know. And so if you have any questions on anything we covered today, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate. Oh, one other thing. I'd appreciate, you know, as there's more and more people connecting in and throughout the entire network, don't take what I say out of context, please. You know, we're a soundbite society, and if you don't hear, like, contextually what I've shared, you take, you know, a few words or a sentence, and you say, oh, this is what Mark Borsma said. Well, not contextually, I didn't. So, you know, please don't do that. You know, if somebody wants to hear, you know, the segment, listen to the whole thing. Listen contextually. Don't be lazy. If you have any questions, connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-399-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless, and have an amazing day.